Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Milwaukee, start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
And welcome to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by, of course, the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Obbs Honda, Steve Zocchi, along with the Polish pipe bomb, Jeff Orlowski. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, happy Halloween, Steve. It's what a beautiful day today.
It really is. It's a good day, and it's also a great day to get out to Great Lakes Dragway because, yes, they are open today. Open test and tune from 10 a.m. till dusk today and get some racing in before the season is over. So Great Lakes Dragway is open. They were, in fact, open yesterday, too. I tell you what, though, the way the weather looks looks like they're going to be open for at least another week or so, Jeff.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be warm a lot next week as well. And, you know, we deserve it because we know the hell that's coming. So don't delay. Get out to Great Lakes today because there's not a whole lot of good days left.
Yeah, and it's winter is coming, as they used to say on the Game of Thrones TV show. So, but yeah, it's a good. I'm happy because I'm getting stuff done in the yard and working. You know, it's this time of the year, Jeff, when especially us as homeowners are wishing the leaves off the tree so we can get rid of them. Come on, let's go.
Oh, yeah.
Fall while the weather's nice.
Yeah, fall off because it's going to be 60 tomorrow. I hope all you guys drop tonight, you know?
Exactly. So lots of stuff happening. Of course, we had the 72 hours of Texas, and we got Martinsville this weekend. But NASCAR released this Xfinity schedule. And guess what? Road America is going to be on there. So it's going to be a busy weekend, of course, at Road America, 4th of July weekend, because we're going to have the Xfinity Series on Saturday once again, July 3rd, and then the Cup Series on Sunday, July 4th. So, wow, what a weekend that is turning out to be, Jeff.
Yeah, it's going to be phenomenal. You know, we all know that here in Wisconsin, we got the Green Bay Packers, who are the true America's team. And now we've got just a jam-packed weekend of NASCAR at a gorgeous racetrack in Wisconsin on America's holiday. So it's just fitting, and I'm pumped, man. I'm excited for it, and I that place is going to be jam-packed and rocking and a good old time, and bring it on. We all need it after all the crap we've been through in 2020 so far.
Certainly can, certainly will be too. Not too many surprises, not as much as the Cup's schedule regarding, you know, shaking things up. But there is some things that I did find interesting looking at this schedule. Of course, leading off Saturday, February 13th at Daytona. Then they go, you know, they pretty much mirror the Cup Series most of the time, with Homestead Auto Club Speedway in California, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Atlanta. Then I thought this was interesting. They got two off weeks back-to-back in March 27th and April 3rd. April 3rd is Easter weekend. Easter, that's a traditional weekend off anyways, but I thought it was interesting they put those two back-to-back just in case there might be a problem yet next year with everything that's going on with COVID and whatnot. So I thought that was interesting. And then they do Martinsville on April 9th and then another off week on the 19th. So I thought it was just kind of interesting. You got and then Talladega, then another off week. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4 off weeks in 6 weeks. Between March and May 1st. So it's just kind of giving you a little flexibility, aren't they, Jeff?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, everybody, I think, kind of is in the mode where January 1st, 2021, all of a sudden, you know, this hell that's been raining over us is going to go away. And we all know that that's not going to happen. COVID's going to be around for a long time. And, you know, it's how we deal with it, and, you know, but I'm pleasantly optimistic. And I think that, you know, my youngest son has been back at full-time school 5 days a week now for about 2 or 3 weeks. And not next week, but the week after, my middle kid is supposed to be in person 5 days. So, yes, you know, there's a surge and all this kind of crap that they're telling you, but things seem to be moving forward, and but we, you know, we don't know where we're going to be next year. So I think they're smart to do it this way. We talked about the NFL season and how if they were, you know, had the foresight to sit there and put back-to-back off weeks, give everybody their normal bye, but then, you know, like week 8 or 9 or both, just every team right. is off. Then you can sit there and fill in makeup games if you need it. We see what's happened with the Badgers football team, where it seems like everybody mm-hmm. and their brother is infected with it. So you know, they're starting a fourth string quarterback. So it you know, it offers them a ton of flexibility, and it's, to me, it's great foresight for next season.
Certainly is. And then also, and I forgot about this, to be honest, is the weekend of July 24th and July 31st are off because they're an NBC product now. And the NBC is running the Olympics those 2 weeks. So there'll be a break during the summer for that.
Yeah, that's different. You know, you're used to hockey going on a hiatus for the Olympics and stuff like that. But you've never had had NASCAR have to go on a Olympic break, so it's different, but cool all in the same. And I'm a big Olympic fan, so I watch a lot more of it than I should. But you know, I love it, so I'm excited.
I'm back. I don't know if you knew that, but I went off for a second.
Nope, I didn't know. I was just rambling.
I'm still learning earbuds, and apparently, you know, one's slipping out a little bit, so I push it in, and then it goes quiet. I'm like, oh, I just turned it off. So,
hey, well,
the
know.
Design, that's not the best design, you know, because, yeah, they do occasionally do fall out. I'm going to have to do the old Dale Earnhardt Sr. and just put a piece of duct tape over my ear like he used to.
And yeah,
put
why
the helmet
not?
On, right?
Why not? That's how my wife walks around the house, so she doesn't have to hear me. She's got duct tape around her ears, so you know, I wouldn't take offense, Steve. I'm used to it.
Texas, wow. I mean, I gotta give credit to everybody involved with that. I've been involved with rainouts at the track and that, and they're not fun. I mean, they're fun maybe a little bit, especially if you're hanging out with a bunch of buddies and you get to do some bench racing and just hang out for a little bit. But when you have to come back, luckily for me, I've only been involved with stuff at Milwaukee. And then like, I remember we did an IndyCar race in 2000, which we had to run on a Monday. And so that was one. But otherwise, in the past, I've just, you know, say, hey, I'm out of here, and But, you know, I guess case in point with NASCAR, it's almost a good thing that they're limited so much with the media now, Annette, because I think they would have, you know, most of them would have been gone anyways. But, yeah, that is really, I mean, tough to be rain out Sunday, rain out Monday, rain out Tuesday, you know, just incredible. And I was looking at the radar, Jeff. I don't know if you saw this too, but you could see that it wasn't a rain, but you saw this real kind of light blue. It was just like this mist. It was just, and we've had that here, of course, in Milwaukee. Sometimes, you know, you get those days in late March, early April, or in late fall where it's not really raining, but you can actually just see the mist just kind of turning around in the air. It just miserable weather, wasn't it, Jeff?
It sure was. You know, it seemed like the weekend in Texas lasted about 2.5 weeks, and you know, I'd sit there and, you know, oh yeah, we're gonna try to get it in tomorrow, starting at 10 a.m. or something like that. So I'd set up my DVR to record, you know, basically all day, and then they'd call that day, so I had to erase all that, and then, you know, do it again the next day, and rinse and repeat. But you know, it was good that they finally got it in, and you know. What a hell of a finish, you know, with Harrison Burton. You know, it seemed like, you know, there was so much excitement after that finish. And then to sit there and wait, you know, basically 4 days for it to get back going seemed like a buzzkill at the end there. But, yeah, they did a good job getting it in and, you know, finally. But better late than never.
Yeah, and Kyle Busch, of course, you know, usually, I don't know. Does it matter to you if it's not a playoff driver that wins when it's starting to be? I have a feeling that the powers to be in Daytona don't really like it. They'd rather have a play, you know, somebody involved in the playoffs winning the race, obviously. But in this case, it's kind of interesting because you had, you know, your defending champion just struggling, just having a bad year, and every. You know, if you're going to race long enough, and Kyle Busch is, you know, has had a long enough career, you're just going to have careers like this. You're just going to have a year where just everything just is, you know, down in the toilet. And it was kind of cool, though, is, you know, how many times have we seen Kyle Busch in victory lane winning his, you know, 300,000th truck race or Xfinity race? And yeah, great job, you know, blah, blah. You know, it's real happenstance. But you can tell he really wanted it and really enjoyed this win, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. He got to keep his streak alive at 13 or 14, you know, years in a row that he's won at least one race. And, you know, we all sat there and predicted, you know, that he was eventually going to win. You know, it's been since Homestead of last year, the final race of the year. So, you know, since he was last in victory lane, it looked like a huge relief. And you could see, you know, and I'm with you, Steve, you know, when you see Kyle Busch and, you know, he's in victory lane in the Xfinity series or the truck series, and it just seems like he's doing an interview, you know, and it's the last place he wants to be. And yes, he's sort of happy, but you could tell, like, you know, it really doesn't mean much. That's kind of uninspiring, shall we say. When you see the true excitement, you know, when you saw Harrison Burton in victory lane and just how happy he was, you saw the dejection from Noah Gregson after blowing that race last week, and just how much of a gut punch and how gut-wrenching that was for him. You know, that's true emotion. That's the, you know, that's what's great about NASCAR. And to see that out of Kyle Busch, who, you know, we've seen him finish second place in the Cup Series and be pissed off. And, you know, you saw it with the car tomorrow where he sat there and won a race. And, oh, you know, congratulations. That was great, wasn't it? Oh, the car sucks. Everything sucks, you know, and all that. So, you know, it was funny that it was a nice change of pace. And it shows you just how much Kyle Busch, you know, truly loves the sport.
Yeah, you know, and it's – There's always situational racing, if that makes sense, and storylines that come about. And in this case, you're racing on a Wednesday. You just want to get this thing done. Was it the best race ever? No, in fact, it was pretty boring, but you just wanted to get it done. But there were a couple components that were interesting, and I thought it was really cool the way Adam Stevens, his crew chief, and that they were managing that race and trying to save gas at the end. And you're going to have fuel mileage races and whatnot, and you have Martin Truex, who's been running basically his face in almost circles around Kyle Busch most of the year. I mean, he's kind of coming on strong. It'll be interesting to see what develops tomorrow for Martin Truex, who's run so well at Martinsville. But we'll tackle that next segment. But so, I mean, there were some interesting dynamics towards the end of that race. How is it going to work out? Is he going to get his race? You know, and so in that case, it's fine. You just want to get it over with. And it was, you want to see that raw emotion. But let's take a quick break, because I want to go back to this Xfinity race on Saturday, which I think Jeff, you might agree with me. Over the last few weeks, Xfinity Series has just been phenomenal. They've been really putting in some great races with some great drivers, and finally it's bearing the fruits that we said it would. That it would if they just kept on trying to develop their own drivers in that series. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more NASCAR on the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove and David Hobbs Honda. Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Hobbs Honda, Steve Zocchi, along with the Polish Pipeline. Got a full show today talking NASCAR, of course, the first hour. After the bottom of the hour, we'll bring in Dennis Michelson from D-Mike Media and get the latest and talk more about NASCAR. Top of the hour, we got IndyCar, and then we have Eddie Lapine checking in from RacingNation.com. Lots of stuff going on in IMSA as they are out in California, and of course, Formula One. And we'll play three questions with Larry Janicek to close out the show, so lots of stuff happening. And Jeff, I wanted to talk to you about the Xfinity race at Texas last Saturday. It was incredible. One of the more incredible finishes, and it's you know, the raw emotion between the kind of haves and haves not net was just incredible. It was the ultimate the old ABC sports, you know, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, wasn't it?
Oh, it sure was. And you know, you were 1,000% right. You sat there and said that the Xfinity series for about the last month, maybe 6 weeks, has been the most exciting series. And when have we ever said that in the past? I've been lucky enough to be doing the show with you for a few years here, and we have never said that. So they definitely got it turned around. I think that a big part is, severely limiting the amount of races that the Cup drivers can get in. You can see the development with some of these drivers, and just a phenomenal finish. And you know, it's funny because when we're watching races on the weekend, a little peek behind the curtain here, you know, me and you text sometimes like, oh my god, you see that, or oh, that guy's an idiot. I didn't want to text you during that Xfinity race because I didn't want to have to look down at my phone. It was that exciting to sit there and watch it. And I did not. There is no way in hell that I thought Harrison Burton was going to catch Gregson and get that win.
No, and, you know, I always get a kick out of it because, you know, let's face it, the guys doing the TV are trying to sell. They're trying to sell ratings. They don't want viewers to turn off. So, you know, it's the same thing with football games. You know, oh, you know, there's a chance the Jaguars can come back from this deficit, you know, and they're just trying to keep viewers. It's just a part of sports media that happens. But and I always get a kick when they start doing that, you know, with five laps to go. You know, don't worry about it. I mean, we're going to stick out to the end of the race. You don't have to sell me a race that I know it's over and all this guy has to do is finish his laps. But in this case, you know, there was like, well, he's coming, and, you know, Burton had to get around Anthony Alfredo at the end, and you were like, okay, well, is he going to hold him up? And how many times have we seen that where it's frustrating where there's a guy with new tires or something, and he's just blasting through the field. As he gets towards the front, there's, you know, he can't get around that one guy. So, you know, maybe if he would have had one more lap, he might have been a, you know, might have been a battle for the win. But in this case, it was incredible. And Noah Gregson, you know, just was devastated. He's racing for his life at this point. And I guess maybe some criticism, you know, these are young drivers in that. You know, should the spotter been in his ear saying, hey, he's coming, watch your line, you know, going into turn three, this and that. I think sometimes with some drivers, and if I'm a driver, I don't want a guy blasting in my ear telling me how to drive my car. But there are certain things that I think with some drivers, if they're happy with it, fine. But, you know, in that case, you know, though sometimes the spotters, I think this is very helpful, is, well, the guys are making better time on the, you know, try the high line this way, you know, try different ways around it. And in this case, I think it would have helped them a lot if they would have said, hey, this guy's coming, you know, try and keep it low because that's where he's been the quickest. And with him overdriving that final corner, Jeff, pushed him in the high, and Burton was able to just drive away and take the win.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I was so shocked when he took that checkered flag that I texted you right away, and I said, Steve, you know, was Noah just hot dogging it on the last lap? And you're like, no, he just overdrove turn four. And, you know, it was so surprising because he had, you know, he had a second and a half or second lead, you know, on that last lap. And to sit there and overdrive the last corner, you know, that's kind of like a Bill Buckner kind of choke job, in my opinion. You know, like I said, I thought at the time that he was just straight hot dogging it, and I'll make it close, but you know, I can let off here and just kind of, you know, kind of coast to the win. And well, that sure as hell didn't happen. And you know, I've talked a lot about Noah Gregson. I think that the kid's got talent. I think he's a good driver. I think he's in phenomenal equipment, and he's completely underperformed. I think that, you know, if I'm being honest, and I've said it before, but, you know, I don't think that he's got the brain power I don't think he's smart enough to sit there and excel on a week in, week out basis. You know, it seems like little bumping and banging and stuff like that gets in his head. I think that, you know, his biggest problem is himself, and it's not the equipment. It's not, you know, the track, the weather, whatever. I think, you know, his biggest problem is in his head. And maybe if he gets with the sports psychologist or something like that, maybe he can be phenomenal. But I, you know, it was great. And I don't sit there. And it was not just the last, you know, 10 laps when Burton was trying to chase him down. It was, you know, the last 80, 85 laps of that race were edge of your seat type stuff. And it was great. And then, you know, if you stuck with the post-race show, Anthony Alfredo brings it home third, good old Fast Pasta, best nickname in NASCAR. And he calls his fans the Sauce Mafia, which I love as well. So, you know, yeah, you definitely cheer for Anthony Alfredo, but you want to talk about raw emotion as well. And it was out of him because, you know, he had another great finish. I think he's having a very fine season for himself, but he's not locked into a ride next season either. And, you know, emotions got the best of him, and you saw tears running down his face because, you know, it's the second or the third to last race of the year. And he gets a third place finish, and he has no job for next year yet. And it's got to be frustrating, and the pressure, and it just has to weigh on you. And, you know, it definitely came out after Texas. So, you know, it was amazing in that post race show to see the overwhelming joy of Harrison Burton, to see somebody who just had their heart ripped out of their body, Indiana Jones style, in Noah Gregson. And then you got Fast Pasta, who had one hell of a finish and, you know, unemployed as of now for next season. And to see the tears and pure emotion out of him, it's everything that's right with NASCAR.
Well, and I hope that, you know, any, you know, car owners and sponsors listening, I'm sure there's just thousands of them listening to the show right now in Charlotte. But no, but seriously though, I hope for his sake, for Gregson's sake, that it, you know, whatever decision is made on his career going moving forward is based on how he's driving and how they think he's going to develop, and not by that epic F-bomb he dropped in the post-race interview, which was, I mean, it was out there. I mean, you couldn't avoid it, but I mean, that's raw emotion, and that's going to happen. And, you know, I always say, when judging somebody, put yourself in that situation. And I can tell you and I at 21 years old, putting us in that high pressure situation, shoving a microphone in our face, God knows what we would have said at that age. So, you know, I'm not going to criticize them too much about that. That was just, you know, like you could say, you could see the raw emotion there. So, I mean, let's judge him on his driving and how you feel he's going to be in the future in that, but not just on a slip of the tongue.
Yeah, and anybody who has a problem with what he said, you know, yes, you know, I'm sure there's people out there, definitely not me, that have a problem with swearing. You know, every time we go to commercial break, I sit there and exhale because, you know, if I can get through a segment without accidentally slipping an F-bomb or something, that's quite an achievement for me. But, you know, if you have a problem that, you know, he dropped an F-bomb on TV right after he just had his heart ripped out, then, you know, you must not have ever competed in anything. Or you're one of those strange people that, you know, just is their competitive level is 0%. Because if you have half a heart, half a heartbeat, and you're a sports fan, you know what that kid is going through. You know how much that has to hurt him. And so I don't see how anybody can complain about that. You know, also little Timmy heard a bad word. Well, he'll get over it, and maybe that'll teach him, teach him an important lesson. You could spin it the right way to teach him an important lesson down the road. But, yeah, that was one hell of a race. What a show. And then, like I said, it was just disappointing that they couldn't build on the momentum of that phenomenal finish. You know, I thought it was funny,
right,
in the cup race, you know, the cup week, that Clint Bowyer led that race for what, 3 days? And he didn't win, but he had the lead for about, you know, 3 or 4 days.
We'll be taking a quick break here, talking to Dennis Michelson coming up here after the break. But before we do, I just wanted to see NBC Sports Network under NASCAR side has their NBC Sports Power Rankings. Have you ever really noticed that or taken note of that, Jeff?
Rarely, you know. We all know who's at, you know, if you watch and you pay attention, you know who's climbing and who's falling. I don't need to, you know, read somebody else's opinion on, you know, when they're going to say what I already know. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I just thought it was interesting. They have Alex Bowman as number one.
Yeah, he's been running good.
He's been running good, but is he the top dog?
Hell no, he's not.
No, you know, that's why I don't understand this, you know. And then they have Martin Truex, you know, second. Well, then they got Logano third, Harvick fifth, Harvick fourth, Chase Elliott fifth, and Ryan Blaney sixth.
It's clickbait, I mean, you know. And
yeah, exactly. And we're idiots for talking about it.
It's clickbait. If that's going to be your top five or top six, you know, even after, you know, like if we were doing this show tonight at 10 o'clock after I've had, you know, a handful, a couple dozen adult beverages, I still couldn't come up with a list that bad. So,
yeah,
you know,
that's...
either he was picking them out of the hat or drunk off his ass, because that list is ridiculous.
Yeah, I just, I don't know.
You know, but... you think Bowman, without a win today, you think he's going to advance? Hell no. And
no.
Martin Truex Jr., you know, he's got one hell of a shot to win tomorrow. That's the only way he advances. So, you know, Chase Elliott's been struggling mightily the last few weeks. He had a horrible finish a couple weeks ago and everything like that. So you want to sit there and throw him, you know, high into the top five, top six? You know, come on, give me a break. That's just it's bad all around.
Yeah, I got a kick out of, you know, and this is just a talking head TV thing, but, you know, they say, well, Kyle Petty says the pressure's on Martin Truex. I'm like, what? I said, Martin Truex has already won a championship. The pressure should be on Denny Hamlin. He's the one sitting there without a championship.
And if Denny Hamlin doesn't win the title this year with all the wins that he has so far, you know, you enter the playoffs basically knowing the only bad thing with Kyle Busch winning last week, I thought it would have been phenomenal if Truex would have won. Because then you had Logano and Truex that were both below the cut line getting in. And then you have Harvick and Hamlin who have dominated this entire season. And if somebody besides those four that was still in the playoffs won, I thought, you know, because you know me, I'm a fan of chaos. I thought it would have been phenomenal if, like, you know, say, somebody else won tomorrow and Denny Hamlin missed Phoenix. You know, it would have shown you basically everything that's wrong with the way that they do the playoffs in NASCAR.
Right.
But I sure as hell would have got a kick out of it.
Yeah, it would have been. It would have been interesting. But, yeah, I don't understand. I mean, that once again, that's just – and you can see this in some of these talking head shows on – you know, in the pre-show meeting, somebody ended up – well, it's drew the short straw and had to take that argument and – They can't even argue it well because it's so ridiculous. But
I know.
No, I just think the pressure's on Hamlin.
Let me give credit really quick. In the truck race last night at Martinsville, you know, we make a lot of fun of Michael Waltrip and the character that he plays and how much of an idiot he sounds like. I give him a ton of credit for giving the TV and camera guys and all that as much credit as he did, because with the, you know, being stuck in Texas with the 4-day rain delay, you run on Wednesday and then you got to sit there and, you know, boogie straight to Martinsville and get ready and get going again. Great job. Tip of the hat. And I make fun of him and everything like that. And I think he's painful to listen to when he's playing that character. But I got to give him credit for the shout out for the crew.
Yeah, you know what? To be honest, I did notice last night watching the truck race, which we'll talk with Dennis Michelson coming up here in just a moment. I actually thought he probably had his best performance of the year last night at Martinsville during the truck race, because he wasn't trying to be that character. He was just, I don't know if somebody talked to him and maybe tell him to just settle down a little bit. But I've always said, you know, regular, you know, normal Michael Waltrip is tolerable, but the character Michael Waltrip is getting to be unbearable. And I thought last night he actually did a good job and was actually doing some decent analysis of the race last night. So it's good to know, isn't it?
Yeah, he was better.
I thought it was interesting that I'm glad you brought that up, because I was while I was watching the race, I'm like, he's not as obnoxious tonight. So, go figure. All right, Jeff, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk with Dennis Michelson from Deep Mike Media, talk more about the truck race and it's kind of exciting results. And I want to talk about two other things with Dennis. I want to talk about perhaps the lack of respect a lot of these younger drivers in these junior series are showing each other in NASCAR, and then also the, I guess you can call it a little bit of controversy of manufacturer driver development programs, coming up next on the Final Inspection Show. And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. They are open today in this seasonably, I guess, better than seasonable fall weather. Today for their test and tune sessions. And also, I forgot to mention, they're running their Halloween grass drag races at Great Lakes Dragway. So make sure lots of stuff to go and do at Great Lakes Dragway today. And also, I'd like to thank our friends at David Hobbs Honda. Make sure to check out DavidHobbs.com for all the best and new and certified used Hondas at DavidHobbs.com. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from DMAC Media, it is Dennis Michelson. Welcome to the show, sir.
Oh, it's great to be here, Steve. I hope my voice sounds okay today because of the Illinois' new mandates on the COVID-19 restrictions to kill the economy. To kill the disease. I'm having to wear a mask while I'm doing this broadcast since the broadcast is going up to Wisconsin. That's how crazy things have gotten down here in Illinois. So I apologize.
Don't feel bad, Dennis. I'm with you. I got the mask on. I got the face shield on. I got the goggles on. My armored underwear. All that. I'm well protected. And I bought one of those. You know, since I'm an older gentleman now, I bought one of those grabbers. You know, the little hook thingies that all that used to be on the infomercials. And that's how I plan to hand out Halloween candy today to all the kids.
That's the way to do it, man. You gotta go the extra mile because just like they are in Illinois here, we're doing our best to kill the economy. Kill the disease. I keep messing that up.
Well, they tried to kill Halloween, and the hippies couldn't get away with that. So at least we got that going for us.
Yeah, we're not allowed to have get-togethers over six people for Thanksgiving. So I just like to announce now to all my guests. Might be listening. We're still doing Thanksgiving. We're just calling it a funeral for my pet turkey, and all will be well.
Well, I hope you don't have to count your turkeys as people, Dennis, or you're in trouble.
Oh, I got to check the rules again. They could have been 5 minutes if we
Well, getting back to the world of racing, this weekend NASCAR is in Martinsville, and we're doing three races this weekend. Got the Truck Series last night, exciting race, of course, this afternoon. And once again, thank you, NASCAR, for waiting till after the show to run the Xfinity race and then tomorrow the Cup Series. But last night, exciting race. With Grant Enfinger, who needed a must-win to get into the playoffs at Martinsville last night, did that and won the race. So it's going to be Grant Enfinger against Sheldon Creed, Brett Moffitt, and Zane Smith. And I tell you what, Enfinger's been around the sport for a few years, racing in ARCA, Dennis, and that. But Sheldon Creed, Brett Moffitt, Brett Moffitt won the championship a couple of years ago. And then Zane Smith, boy, those are some young and upcoming exciting drivers, aren't they?
That's the whole idea of the Truck Series. I'm guessing that we don't get Johnny Sauter, God bless America, to be running for the championship. He's still my favorite when it comes to the Truck Series, but we've got some talent. That Sheldon Creed kid, all of a sudden, he figured out how to race and how to get to the end of a race. Unfortunate that he had that kind of unforced error with a tire going down. It just shows how weird this playoff system is because he lost the tire, and that would have been it for him, except for the fact that he'd already won a race. So he advanced. But could you imagine if that knocked out, one of the top drivers in Cup, who've been the dominant guys all season long, and all of a sudden, due to a flat tire, because of, just popping a seal, they're all of a sudden out of the playoffs. It is crazy to think that that's how dangerous it can be to run at a short track like Martinsville, where one little tire rub is all it takes.
Yeah, well, it's been a crazy season in general, Dennis, in the trucks. When you sit there and we talked about the veteran with Johnny Sauter, not in the playoffs. You got Matt Crafton, who got eliminated early. Stuart Friesen is just having, just a horrible, horrible year. The year that Stuart Friesen is having makes Kyle Busch's year in Cup look like a dream. So it just, you know, there's a lot of drivers that that we expected to sit there and go far and make a lot of noise that that didn't step up to the plate this year.
A lot of talent. We're seeing a changing of the guard as far as the strong teams in the truck series. It used to be whoever showed up in Kyle Busch Motorsports equipment was going to be the guy that you favored along with Thorsport to run for the championship. But now you got GMS, you got Nice, you've got these teams that are emerging. This was the whole idea behind the truck series, was to develop new teams, and it's great to see it finally happening again after a lull where it was two teams totally dominating the sport. Now you've got a lot of different teams that are able to compete, and you've got all three brands in the championship run as well. And Ben Enfinger, my goodness, what a performance that he put on last night. He didn't have the fastest truck, but he probably had the most guts going for it. I almost said something else to get you guys a fine. That guy, he just showed that he wanted it more than anybody else and got it done. But if that tire problem had not happened for Sheldon Creed, I don't think Grant Enfinger would have had a chance.
Yeah, I
agree. And I think that it was funny, you kind of mentioned it, Steve, you know, with when you said that Enfinger's been around a couple years, when you look in the at the post-race interviews and you look at him, he actually looks mature. And then you look at Zane Smith and it's like, you know, this kid is still in, you know, it looks like he's still in high school. You know, you want to check his ID at the lunch counter. But yeah, that it should be one heck of a race down in Phoenix with those four.
And I don't think one of them is shaving yet. I think that's the big key. I think Zane Smith, I don't think, has started shaving yet. And some of these guys don't look like they need to shave more than like once a week. But Grant Enfinger's been around. He's an old school guy that, you know, done it on his own, not because of a big, you know, paycheck that or a big check that he can write. He's kind of raced his way up old school and been able to find a little sponsorship to keep his career going and, you know, have enough money to get a chance. And he's shown what he can do and, you know, doesn't have the best equipment, but that short track mentality or racing mentality that served him well at Martinsville could serve him well at Phoenix as well.
You know, Dennis, I want to talk about Ben Rhodes, who's been hitting everything he can and more so, and then also some of the moves some of the drivers have been making, not only in the truck series, but also the Xfinity series. And, you know, of course, we always call ourselves old school guys, but there was always kind of a, you know, I don't like the unwritten rules of baseball too much, but there were some unwritten rules in NASCAR. And one of them was you never really take retaliation against one of the quote unquote, like dangerous tracks, whether it's Atlanta, California, Texas, you know, one of the fast tracks where if you take a guy out, you could get the guy hurt. And I saw that last week in Texas, and I don't know, you know, something, you know, things that might have been said that we don't know about, but I definitely think they should have been. But what's your opinion on some of the what's just a obvious lack of respect with some of these younger drivers?
Yeah, you nailed it on the head there about the old school rules. You know, long before, you know, safer barriers and Hans devices, it hurt to crash at a track like that. And it was more deadly to crash at a track like that. But all of the talk about how tough the Intimidator was and how he would rough people up, I never saw him hook a guy at a mile and a half or 2 mile or 2.5 mile track. If he was going to nail you, he was going to get you at a short track. Yeah, back then you could still hurt a guy, you know, taking him out at a short track. He was going to rough you up. He was going to do it at a short track. There was no absolute reason that NASCAR can convince me on that Ben Rhodes should have been racing last night. He should have been sat down for a race, and that example would carry a long way. The fact that we don't suspend drivers ever
It really was. I tell you, Jeff, let's take a quick break here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're running behind here. Let's take a quick break here because I want to talk to Dennis about the driver development controversy that's coming up regarding Toyota and Tony Stewart here. Coming up next on the Final Inspection Show. And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Hobbs Honda, Steve Zotke, along with the Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski, and Dennis Michelson joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. And Dennis, I want to mention to you, we were going to talk about this last week, and we just ran out of time, but Tony Stewart mentioned about Ford and with them signing a Chase Briscoe. He said, quote, I think Ford's done an awesome job with their driver development program. I think there's not a lot of drivers in it, but the main reason is there's not a lot of drivers in it. They put a focus on a small group of drivers versus one of the other OEMs out there. And that was a veiled shot at Toyota. And, you know, I've been critical of some of the driver, not only OEM driver developmental programs, but also some of the teams too, where, you know, these drivers, young drivers, get committed or get signed to a team or a manufacturer, and they're very limited on what they can do. If things aren't working out, there's really no parachute for them, is there, if things get a little upside down for them?
Calling it driver development programs with the way it's being done nowadays and over like the last 15 years is an absolute joke. The closest to a real driver development program is Ford. That's why it's such a few number of drivers that they put on, as I like to call it, their driver development charm bracelet. Because the rest collect drivers and give them such little amount of money that unless they have daddy signing a big check or they have the commitment of a major sponsor, that driver development money from Toyota or Chevy, it doesn't do anything for them. You know, maybe pays their travel expenses to get to the race. I mean, that's how pitiful it is. You know, years ago, there was actual driver development. The guy did well at the short track. He might get a chance to come up and race 3 or 4 truck races. If he did well in 3 or 4 truck races, he might get a full-time job at the truck races. And only bring in, like, partial sponsorship or almost no sponsorship at all. And he could work his way up the ladder. You could see a Matt Kenseth who came to the Charlotte area with nothing except for a car and a dream and a great crew chief. And all of a sudden, he got put down, got a little sponsorship money, then got a chance, Roush signed him, matched him with a sponsor, and a career is born. Now what you have is you have teams that are willing to say, oh yeah, Toyota wants to sponsor you. And it's such little amount that when they get done with the whole song and dance, they try to finance the guy's career for the first 3 years of driver development. And it can cost these families a ton of money if they don't already have a sponsor lined up for that ride. So calling it driver development nowadays in NASCAR, absolute joke. Same thing in IndyCar. If you don't win your money through scholarships through the Road to Indy program, at least they've got that. Most of the drivers that are getting to the elite level in IndyCar are only there. Yeah, they got talent, or they wouldn't even get a chance. But they're there because they were able to sign a big check or bring a sponsor who was able to do that. There is no real driver development that can take a guy with no money and turn him into a star like happened with Dale Earnhardt years ago. That doesn't exist anymore in today's NASCAR.
Yeah, but Steve, don't you think that, you know, if you had the choice of doing it Ford's way, and, you know, we've talked about it this season in the Xfinity Series where, you know, especially at Dega and Daytona, and they only have two cars out there, and it's Briscoe and Cindric, who are, you know, both, you know, phenomenal, highly talented, and, you know, are either going to make the jump to Cup next year or the year after. But, you know, but they're at a disadvantage because they don't have as many people helping them on the track. Don't you think that if you had the money and you were Toyota, you would be doing it the way that Toyota is? Because now, say Cindric gets hurt, or, you know, Briscoe gets hurt, or, you know, something happens to him. And now your list of replacement guys is very, very small. You know, don't you think that Toyota's kind of doing it the right way by, because they don't have much to lose. Like Dennis said, these guys all got to bring their own check. And so, you know, you increase your stable, you've got more chances of somebody panning out.
Well, I think the criticism that Stewart was leveling and I have in the past is these guys get signed to these programs, and it's almost like a roller coaster. Once you get on this thing, there's no really way to get off of it until your career is pretty much essentially over. And I think that's where the criticism is, where, okay, we understand the business of motorsports. You have to produce in that. But, and we've seen this, I've been very critical in the past, even though it's not really around anymore, with the Chip Ganassi was signing all these stock car drivers, like Brian Clausen and other drivers, to these driver development programs, and you get three or four races in a year, year and a half, and that's hardly not really enough time to really show what you can do. I mean, let's face it, you know, drivers develop at different rates. But the other thing, too, is the lack of testing in all these sports, Dennis. And it's yeah. Not like, you know, in the past where, okay, you might do a couple races like you mentioned, but you could also race at Milwaukee here, or you could race at Chicagoland and get your laps in, and you could work with a chief mechanic and understand the cars more and understand what they're doing. These guys are getting thrown into the deep end of the pool.
Yeah, and they're actually going and jumping into races at the Truck Series and at the Xfinity Series on tough tracks like Darlington without any previous experience. You know, in the old days, meaning 3 years ago or 2 years ago, NASCAR wouldn't even let you on the track to qualify unless you had proven that you could get around the track in practice. Plus, they allowed rookies to have a certain number of rookie tests at other tracks. When they did away with testing altogether, it led to rookies being more unprepared than ever before. So why bother to have a driver development program where you can let somebody else develop that guy for you? And as he gets good and there's nowhere for him to go in that brand of car, you can then try to sign him. Because most of these guys do have an out in their contract that after a certain number of years, as part of the driver development program, if there's no home for them at the higher level, they have a way to get out of that deal. But, you know, if you want to think that, if you want a realization of how crazy driver development has become in NASCAR, remember a few years ago when Kimi Raikkonen, a Formula One champion and star between rides, tried to come and race in the Truck Series, and it cost him $350,000 to go race, to test and go race for three races. Remember the motorcycle dude, you know, the greatest motorcycle racer of all time. When he wanted to, Ricky Carmichael, when he wanted to come and race in stock cars, he spent over $1.5 million to get his development in. Big name stars like that, and nobody's willing to spend money on them? So don't tell me that there's a real driver development program out there. The closest is Ford. Chase Briscoe is getting a chance, and this little kid who just wouldn't buy his ride, but it took him a while to catch on and get a chance, and he's only getting it because he's an incredible talent. But that's the state of driver development right now in racing, because it's too costly to develop a driver. Why not just grab one that's already developed?
We'll be taking a quick break here in just a moment, but before we go, Dennis, let's get your picks for the Xfinity Series and Cup Series.
Boy, oh boy, on the Xfinity side, I'm just picking Allgaier. I think that's just a sentimental pick with me at this point. And on the Cup side of things, I'm going to pick Martin Truex Jr. to get it done.
Martin Truex.
Good pick. He's won the last two at Martinsville.
Yep, and he needs it too. So I'm looking at that as my pick, pick Kulik out there at Martinsville Speedway.
All right, very good. Dennis, thank you so much. And what's the latest at fakepigskin.com?
Oh, my goodness. Trying to keep teaching people that fantasy football is a weekly game, and you need weekly stats. We got some of the best over there. It really breaks things down and find those waiver wire studs before everybody else finds them.
All right, very good, Dennis. You know, while I have you on the line here, I got a fantasy football question. Marquise Brown or Cole Beasley this week? Both facing tough defenses, Pittsburgh and New England.
If it's PPR, I would take Beasley because he's been a bit of a beast. He'll get you at least 3 or 4 catches, and that adds up in a hurry in PPR. If it's non-PPR and you're looking for an upside guy, go with Marquise Brown because he's got the best potential to put it in the end zone.
Well, I agree with you. That's what I have. That's what I picked. So I like the way you're thinking. Dennis, we'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care now.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got the latest in IndyCar racing news next on the Final Inspection Show.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.